Amanda. And Matt, thanks for inviting me to speak today. As Matt mentioned, I'm an attorney. I practice at Lathrop Engage in Kansas City. We're a national law firm. I practice exclusively in the environmental, team is what we call ourselves now, instead of a department. But most of my work, probably 90% of my work, is hazardous waste work. We work on CERCLA, Superfund cleanups, RCRA corrective action, and then I do a little bit of Clean Water Act work as well. As an aside, I went to school with undergraduate school with Aaron DeJoya. I went to graduate school with Aaron DeJoya. Aaron DeJoya got me my first job out of graduate school. And that was, about 17 years ago? I've been trying to work with Aaron DeJoya for the last 17 years, and he has successfully avoided that scenario until now. Well, when Matt called me up and asked me to give my perspective on what makes a quality expert, I thought to myself, well, basically it comes down to, this is going to sound flippant, it's not meant to be, but what does the expert know the rules of the game? Do you know the rules that you're going to be playing by when you take on this responsibility? And there's the written rules, the court rules, and then there's the unwritten rules. They're not really unwritten rules, they're just kind of social norms. What are you expected to do as an expert to help out the attorney that hires you? So let's talk about first the written rules, because that drives the unwritten rule aspect of this too. And there's essentially two rules that will govern your work as an expert. And I'm going to talk about the federal rules of evidence and the federal rules in general, because those are applicable in every state. If you're in state court, the rules are going to be a little bit different, likely, but you're going to be getting to the same point in most instances, or have the same responsibilities. The first rule is Federal Rule of Evidence 702, and that's the rule that governs whether or not you can provide an expert opinion and a trial. In order to provide an expert opinion at a trial, you have to be qualified, which most of you will likely be qualified. You're qualified many ways: education, training, experience. That opinion, it must be able to help the trier of fact determine an issue. Third, and this is probably what you do every time you walk into one of these seminars or go and watch one of those or look at those posters downstairs, is you evaluate whether or not the expert's opinion is based on sufficient facts and data, whether or not it's the product of applying reliable principles, and whether or not you applied those reliable principles to the facts in this case. And if you meet each one of those criteria, you can provide expert opinion testimony at a trial. Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 26A2B is the civil procedure for how you provide your expert opinion to opposing counsel. If you're hired as an expert in a case to provide expert testimony in a case, you generally have to provide an expert report. And this is the report that, this is the rule that outlines what needs to be provided in that expert report. And it corresponds really well with Rule 702. If you see, little I there, you have to provide a complete statement of all your opinions. That corresponds to 702 C and D, where testimony must be the product or reliable methods and how you applied those methods to the facts. And you also have to provide a complete statement of all the data that you reviewed. That corresponds well to 702 B, that requires you to opine, your opinion must be based on sufficient facts. So you got Rule 702 that allows you to provide the testimony, 26A provides a procedure in which you present your testimony to the opposing side. And these two rules generally govern your responsibilities as you move forward. Basically, the unwritten rules. How do you help me as an attorney? Again, it's if you understand your rules, those rules, again, are governed by 702 and Rule 26. We'll talk about those in just a second. Secondly, somewhat obviously, you have to be able to persuasively explain technical facts to me, and then, eventually, perhaps, to a jury. And finally, everybody's worried about costs, so you got to be cost-effective. First requirement of Rule 702 that we just talked about, in order to provide opinion, you have to be able to use your specialized knowledge to help the trier of fact, that'd be the judge or the jury, determine a fact at issue. But there's so much more to get to that point. And that's where your real help as an expert, that's the real help that you provide to an attorney at that point. What leading up to the point where you're at trial, sitting in the chair, giving that testimony. You start out with preliminary analysis of case history, case theory. You can help the attorney develop the prosecution theories of the case or the defense theories of that case. You assist in discovery. Discovery such as how do you develop the interrogatories or requests for production and documents. And for you, for those of you who haven't practiced in this area in the past, discovery is the procedure in which you gather the data and the theories from the opposing side in which they're going to present in their case. So you have generally a fact discovery period, and you have an expert discovery period. I can hire my experts no matter. Anytime I want to hire my experts, and I generally try to hire them as early as possible so that I can get them involved in the fact discovery so that they can help me develop my written discovery so I can ask the right questions. Thirdly, evaluating the opposing experts' opinions. Rule 26 requires the opposing side's experts to send me an expert report, just like I have to send opposing side's my experts' reports. The opposing side has that expert because they need that expert to prove an element of their case. If they can't prove an element of their case using that expert, I win. I want to win. The best way for me to win is to kick that other expert. That's usually done with what is called a Daubert motion. And you win Daubert motions not by saying, my expert's right and this expert over here is wrong. That's called a battle of the experts. That's for the trier of fact to determine who should I believe in this instance. But I do get to kick the expert if that expert opinion is not based on reliable facts, not based on reliable methods, or they didn't apply those reliable methods to those reliable facts. Since all that information has to be in the expert report, my experts will help me, will basically be my brain, tell me where did they fall short in their opinions here? Where do we attack their opinions? Where do we need to have clarification of their opinions? Then, of course, you have the preparing your own expert report requirements and sitting for depositions, which I think that probably the other folks will talk about as well. What do I look for when I hire an expert? I work with experts all the time. When I hire an expert, I use the same criteria that you likely use when you hire your employees. You want somebody who has the appropriate background, qualifications, and experience. More importantly, get to someone who's persuasive. You might not have the greatest background, the greatest experience, but if you're persuasive and you can explain technical details in an understandable way to me, I trust you can explain it to a jury or a judge. And that's what I need. I need someone who likes to be a teacher, who wants to explain their expertise to lay people, and can do it effectively. Other things I look at is prior testimony experience. Number one, have you ever had a Daubert challenge against you succeed? Have you ever been kicked off of a case? The fact that you've been kicked off a case does not foreclose you from being my expert, but it makes me look at it a second time at whether or not you're going to be helpful from a witness standpoint. You can be very helpful from a consultant standpoint. You know, and I hire experts in many different contexts. Regulatory dispute context. If I know that my client is likely going to be enforced upon, I can hire an expert to collect additional data and potentially protect that data from disclosure so we can develop our approach going forward as we negotiate with the agencies. I use expert witnesses for, you know, if I have an arbitration, if I know this trial is not going to go to, this case isn't going to go to trial, it's going to be arbitrated, it has to be arbitrated, or we're going to mediate this to settle it. I hire experts to do that as well. Help me develop my case. Show me where my weak parts are, where the opposing side's weak parts are. Basically, again, be my brain. And then finally, I can't stress enough how important it is to be cost effective. The cases I generally work on it's not uncommon, to have millions and millions of documents. And I'm not talking millions of pages, I'm talking millions of documents. And I'm going to try to cull those documents down to a number that you can handle, but I'm likely going to provide you way more than what you want or what you need. And you have to be able to judiciously determine what it is that I'm looking at, what do I need to look at and move on, so you're not running the clock.